God, it's times like these that are probably very few and far between where we get to sit in a quiet place and just receive. For many of us in this room, we're pouring out, we're doing, we're serving, we're working for our bosses or leading companies or whatever it is you call us to do throughout the week. But Lord, I just pray for that spirit of rest to fall upon us right now, that we would not be anxious, that we would not be thinking about tomorrow or this coming week, but our focus would be upon you. For we come to this place to worship our Creator and to focus on our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray against distractions. I pray that our focus would be upon you, that as we've sang these songs, that they're not just lyrics that we go through, that we just follow along, that truly our hearts have been engaged with you. And so it's all about you here, God. And we just pray that we would be blessed by your Spirit, your presence, as we sang. Your presence, God, is what we want. So help us today to be present, to hear your word, to receive it, and then to apply it to our lives. To you be the glory, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have children, you probably know that kids like to mimic their parents, don't they? Girls like to have their little plastic kitchens and play cooking, like making dinner like with mom, or maybe even doing makeup. You know, maybe your child goes into your makeup drawer and destroys all your makeup. You know, that's fun. But they want to do what mom does, right? Or guys, the kids, the little boys have their plastic lawnmowers and they want to cut grass like dad does. Kids want to mimic their parents. And it's just been so interesting to me watching some of these young kids growing up in the church. And two of the kids in our ministry, the Duffy kids, I mean, they're always good for a good illustration on a Bible study. If you're familiar with Lincoln and Easton, on Wednesday night Bible studies, their older brother Jasper plays baseball. And so anytime we're at Bible study, if Jasper's not there and Jay's not there, it's usually because he's got a baseball game. And so we'll say, oh, Jasper's at a baseball game. And then little Lincoln will look up, he goes, I have a baseball game today. I go, you have a baseball game? He goes, yeah, I play baseball. I'm going to play baseball. I go, you're going to play baseball? Yeah, I play baseball. How's your team doing? Good, we're doing good, we're winning. And it's like, wow. And he's so convinced that he plays baseball. Never played baseball probably a day in his life. And then little Easton will come up behind him and go, I play baseball. Just absolutely want to do what their older brother does. I want to play baseball because we give Jasper so much attention. Good job, Jasper. I heard you won the game. You won the championship. Yeah. And the little boys, they just want to mimic their older brothers. That's what kids do, right? They mimic those that they look up to. They mimic their parents, their actions, the things that they do. They also mimic the things that come out of their mouths. Yeah, exactly. I love that. In fact, I have a pastor friend that says whenever he's traveling, as a traveling pastor, whenever he sits down at dinner at a family's home, he'll sit down and he'll say to the kids, so kids, what did mom and dad say not to tell me? He's like, tries to get in, they'll just tell them. They'll tell them exactly what they're supposed to do. Kids just are truthful. They just want to mimic the actions of their parents. And so we have to be careful the things that we do, the things that we say. These kids are watching. The kids are watching. See, do you remember as a kid playing a game called Follow the Leader? Follow the Leader. It's a very simple, mindless game. There's one person that's a leader. Everybody else follows behind him, and whatever the leader does, you're supposed to do. And if you don't do it, you're out of the game. Until there's only the leader and one other person left, and then that person left who wins the game is now the leader, and then they start all over again. I remember playing this game as a kid just for hours. Hours upon end, follow the leader. And I was thinking about this this week as I was studying the Word. And how important it is for us as Christians to follow our leader, to follow Jesus, to follow after people that are following after Jesus, to be in that row as Christians, just following what the Lord has to do, to say, and what he wants us to participate in, to truly be following. I ask you, you're going to be following somebody in your life. I don't know if it's a business person or your boss or someone that you look up to. You want to be like that person. You want to act like that person. You want to follow that leader. But I pray more than anything else, you're here this morning with a deep desire to follow after Jesus. because Jesus, our leader, actually followed his leader, his heavenly Father. He did exactly what the Father says. In fact, it says in John's Gospel, the 12th chapter, verse 49 overhead, says, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak." And I love this example that Jesus gives to us. Listen, I, as God myself in incarnation, I've come down to only do what the Father tells me to do. That's what Jesus was. He was laser focused on following his leader. And as Christians, we need to be laser focused to follow our leader. Who are you following this morning? Do you follow Jesus sometimes and then not other times? Do you find yourself following some worldly professional more than you do Jesus? Who are you following? Because whoever you follow, you will be like. And if you want to be Christ-like, you better stay close to Jesus. See, that's what we're seeing in Mark chapter 6. We're seeing the disciples following Jesus. So look with me at verse 1, chapter 6, as it says, "Then he went out from there," that's Capernaum, "and came to his own country," that's Nazareth, excuse me, "and his disciples followed him." It's a very simple saying, but it's the reality that his disciples were just following after Jesus. Verse 2, "And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, 'Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?' So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house.' Now he could do no mighty works there, except that he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit, teaching." Give me your attention. This first head, this is only half of what we're going to talk about today, but this is such an amazing story. It's such an amazing thing that we see as his disciples are following after Jesus. I mean, they're just watching Jesus. If you've been going along with us through the Gospel of Mark, we see Mark is just telling us Jesus does miracle after miracle. He's teaching everywhere. He goes into a synagogue and there's a Sabbath. He goes into that synagogue to teach. So he's not only teaching, but he's also doing miracles, and his disciples are following him. And I think that's so important for us as believers to make sure that we're focusing, like I'm saying, in following Jesus, following our leader. He's going from Capernaum around the Sea of Galilee, and then he goes southwest to get to Nazareth. Now, Nazareth is one of my wife's favorite places in the Holy Land. When we were there, it was about 110 degrees. They made us wear all kinds of garb. We got to milk a goat. We got to eat outside in 110 degree weather. She loved this story. So I encourage you, have coffee with my wife and she'll tell you the story about Nazareth. I was going to put a picture up, but I was afraid she'd throw something at me. Because we actually have a photo of us enjoying the things there in Nazareth. But this is where Jesus was born. Or this is where Jesus grew up, I should say. He grew up in Nazareth. This was his hometown. And he had a heart for the people there. And so he goes from Capernaum, he goes to Nazareth, and the thing that the Bible so clearly says, it's the Sabbath, and Jesus is going to go into the synagogue, and he's going to teach. See, Jesus is a servant. And if we're going to be followers of Jesus, we need to have that servant's heart as well. The reason we gather together on Sunday mornings is to be in community. See, for Jesus, on the Sabbath, he went to church. He showed up where the people were. That's where all the people were. And Jesus wanted to be around people. Not everybody likes people. Not everybody gets along with everybody. But as a church, we should come together as community to hear about what's going on in each other's lives, to encourage each other to continue to be faithful to God. And it's this kind of time that we come together and we hear what's going on. Listen, this is not about putting on your Sunday best, looking your best, and trying to pretend everything's okay. Guys, church is a time to be real and to be honest and to be truthful. Did you have a tough week this week? Did some things go wrong in your life? Did you take a washer apart and not know how to put it back together? Jordan Donegan did. And you can see it on Instagram. I don't recommend it, though. No, life is difficult. Life is hard. Sorry, Jordan. I couldn't help it. Life is tough. And I hope for you, church is that time where you can come into the sanctuary and truly just go, God, I need to cast my cares upon you. It's been a tough week. It's been difficult. Jesus, it was important to you to go on the Sabbath to be around people. I want to be around people. I want to share what's going on. I am so thankful for people in this church that are willing to come up to me and say, this is what happened to me this week. It wasn't at a pet restaurant. Could you pray for me? Could you just pray for my situation? It breaks my heart, and I think it breaks the heart of God as well, that people come into the church hurting, and then they leave hurting as well. No, no, no. You should be coming to church to be encouraged, to be strengthened, for your faith to be strengthened. That's why our mission statement is encouraging believers to engage their faith. We're here to encourage you to engage your faith. We're encouraging you to get out this week and not be disappointed because of what happened last week, but just be hopeful that God's going to use you this week. This is the time where we come to sharpen each other and to be real with each other. Maybe you can't be real at your workplace. Maybe you can't be real in your neighborhood or with your friends. Guys, if you can't be real in God's house, where can you be real? Where can you be honest? There should not be any judgmental attitudes in here. If you came to me and told me you did one of the most abhorrible things in all your life, I would pray with you and be encouraged that God's going to use that situation to draw you closer to Him, to see and experience His grace in a more powerful way. It was so important for Jesus to go and to teach in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Is church high on your list of things to do during the week? This is the first day of the week. This is the time where we get our batteries recharged. This is where we get our focus back on God so you can get back into the world and say, I am equipped and I am ready to fight the good fight and to be a part of what God wants to do. Are you doing that? Is that your heart this morning? I pray it's not just, oh, I got to check that off my list. Going to church, did my good duty. No. Please do me a favor. There's prayer counselors up here every single service, and I don't bring a lot of attention to it, but they are available to pray with you, to really hear what's going on. And there are several people that utilize that ministry because I think it's such an important ministry. Don't leave here today without having an opportunity to come and pray. We're here for you. We're here to pray for your situations and see God work in your life. See, that's why Jesus thought it was so important. Because notice it says in verse 1, he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. Even what the Bible calls the followers of Christ, disciples. You know what a disciple is? It's a pupil. It's a learner. It's someone that is a student of what their teacher is speaking. So I'm asking, are you a disciple of Christ? Are you one that's learning and growing? Nothing pleases my heart more than to hear that something in your life is growing and strengthening your faith. That is just a wonderful thing. Those who invest in God, listen, reap benefits. That's just the way it is. You put time into the Lord, and He'll take care of you. That's just how it works. Jesus taught, and He taught the Word. Notice it says, it says here in verse 2, and when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? Now listen, it's his hometown. Jesus, as we'll see, is a carpenter. He grew up as a carpenter, and now all of a sudden this carpenter, which is not a compliment, by the way, this carpenter is now speaking and teaching in the synagogue, and they're amazed at his teaching. They're astonished at the way he's elegantly speaking. Now, we have the perspective of knowing who Jesus is, right? Jesus is the Messiah, Son of God. He is actually the Word of God. Can you imagine hearing the Word of God from the Word of God? Who knows the Word of God better than the Word of God Himself? It must have been amazing. It must have been amazing. A power. They were astonished at the things he was saying. Nobody, they're like, man, this guest speaker is really, really good. Can we get him back next week? Oh, no. Guys, it's so important that we hear the Word of God from the Word of God. As I'm sharing the Word, the Holy Spirit is taking the Word and is planting it in your heart. My prayer for you is that God speaks to your heart in such a way that you receive it, that it strengthens you for whatever is coming this week. Because God's Word is what brings life. God's Word is what brings that strength and that sustenance in your days ahead. See, they were looking at Jesus from the outside. They were looking at Jesus with their eyes. They weren't seeing who Jesus was at this point. In fact, it even goes on in verse 3, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not these your sisters with us? So they were offended by him. They were offended. They took offense at his character in such a way that they rejected him. His own hometown. If you've ever experienced being a believer in your own family and you're the only believer, you know exactly how Jesus was coming up against. When I first got saved, none of my family was saved. My mom wasn't saved, my brother wasn't saved, my dad wasn't saved. They didn't want anything to do with it. And I've probably shared this story with many of you, but when I first got saved, I called my dad. I said, yeah, Dad, I just gave my life to God, and I'm going to church every week. And these are the words of my father. I'll never forget them. He goes, oh, that's good for some people. I was like, whoa. I said, no, Dad, this is good for all people. The reality of a relationship with God that we can have, that sometimes the outside world and even our own families don't understand it. And if you're in that place, that's a tough place to be. But know this, Jesus was in the same place. Jesus was in the same place as he's in his hometown, and they're just offended by his teaching. They're offended that this carpenter is teaching like this. Gosh, don't our hearts get hard so easily and so quickly? Even as Spirit-filled Christians, sometimes our hearts can get hard towards the things of God. Maybe you read a scripture and you're like, oh, that's hard to hear. But do you receive it as truth? No, Jesus was, they were offended by him. They did not want him to be there. It says in verse 4 through 6, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. The word prophet means a worker of God. That's what Jesus was. He calls himself a worker of God. He's doing the things that God has called him to do. I hope we all are having a heart to do the things God has called us to do as workers of his. See, change, they didn't look at Jesus and go, wow, this was a carpenter, now look what he's doing. Because the problem was, he didn't go through the proper channels. He didn't go through to theology school. He didn't study under the rabbis. So they were offended that this carpenter would speak like this. After I first got saved, there were two couples that were Lou and I's friends. And I'll never forget, after a few weeks of walking with the Lord, or a few months actually, this one couple sat down with us. We used to get together with them all the time. And this guy looked me straight in the face and he said this. He goes, I miss the old Rob. I was like, man, that's too bad, because that old Rob is dead. That old Rob was the partier. That old Rob was the one who drank. That old Rob was the one that, you know, cussed and just did worldly things. I said, sorry, dude, I'm not going back to that. That's not my life. And thankfully, most of our friends embraced our new faith. But two sets of our friends, they were offended because we were believers. And that's what brings this scripture so alive to me. It's like even the people we love, that we would love them to come to saving knowledge of Christ, they look at us and go, we don't want that. Really? So you don't like the fact that I stopped drinking, I stopped cussing, and I'm starting to be a bad person. You're offended at the fact that I don't drink anymore, I love my wife. Wow, isn't it amazing how the enemy blinds us? How he blinds the world to the reality of what it means to have a relationship with God? Our hearts are broken. We see in verse 5 that it says that Jesus could do no mighty works in the town. Listen, the only limitation that God or Christ has in your life is unbelief. If you don't believe, he can't do it. It says, there was a few people, some people came. There were some there that believed in Jesus, and so he was able to lay hands on them and heal them. But the limitation that we set upon God is simply our unbelief. He will not move through unbelief. So it is our job to make sure as followers, following our leader, to believe that he can. Even when you don't think he will, still believe that he can. There has to be that faith. There has to be that belief. Three chapters from now, Jesus is going to be talking to a man whose son has a mute spirit. And he comes to Jesus and he says, I really want you to come and heal my son. And Jesus says, listen, if you just believe, this is what Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believe. Again, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believe. Do we see how important it is to have this faith, to have this belief that Jesus can? I ask you this morning, and this is not just a church question, do you truly believe in your heart that Jesus can change your circumstances that you're in right now? Do you believe he can change your finances? Do you believe he can change your maybe sickness, maybe an ailment, maybe something? Do you believe he can change the circumstances in your home, the things that are going on in your home? You know, maybe you're struggling with your spouse, or maybe you're struggling with your children. Whatever it is, do you believe in your heart that Jesus can make a difference, that he can change the situation? Or do you simply believe he can do it for somebody else, but not for you? See, guys, that's unbelief. And Jesus says, if you can only believe, all things are possible to him who believes. This is our time on Sunday mornings to come and encourage each other to believe. So if you're doubting this morning, if you're in that place of doubt and unbelief, you need to get around somebody who believes more than you do. That's the reality. Find someone who does believe. Listen, we all go through it. We all go through those times. It's like, Lord, I've been dealing with this for years. It's never going to change. You need to get around someone who went through it for more years than you're going through and let them show you that, no, just continue to be faithful and to begin to believe. Notice it says that Jesus actually marvels at their unbelief. The Creator standing back at Nazareth and looking on going, I am absolutely amazed that you people don't believe. Listen, they heard about Jesus doing healings. Word was all around the Sea of Galilee. They knew what he had done. He had delivered demons from people. He'd raised the dead. He had healed blind, given, you know, cleansed lepers. They had heard. And he was absolutely amazed at their unbelief, marveled. There's only two places in the Bible where it says that Jesus marveled. This one here, that he marveled at their unbelief, and then in Matthew chapter 10, it says Jesus marveled at their great faith. There was a man that comes to Jesus and says his daughter's sick, and Jesus says, well, take me to your house. He's like, you're a man under authority. You don't even need to come to my house. You just say it, and I'll believe it's going to be done. And Jesus goes, I marveled at this faith. I have not seen faith like this, he says, in all of Jerusalem. This man had faith that Jesus just had to say it. Didn't have to be there. Guys, if Jesus is looking at your life, is he marveling at your faith or is he marveling at your unbelief? It's one of those two, isn't it? It's not a gray area. I want to be known as a Christian. I want you to be known as a Christian that God is looking down going, I marvel at your faith. I marvel that you're believing in me this much. That's the kind of faith that God wants us to have if we're truly going to be following after Jesus. Jesus walked on this earth believing that his heavenly Father would take care of him every step of the way. Every step of the way. Guys, we got to believe. We have to be encouraged to engage our faith every single day. I hope you're equipped to engage your faith this week. Look with me now in verse 7 as we continue. As Jesus now is going to tell his disciples to go out and do what Jesus has been doing. It says in verse 7, and he called the 12 to himself, just the 12, not the disciples, which was a multitude of them, just the 12 to himself, and began to send them out two by two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, No bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He also said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you to hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So they went out and preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. This is so, for me, this is the heart of the message. Here Jesus has been teaching and healing and going around, and the disciples are just following him and watching him. Here, now it's cold in here, isn't it? Yeah, see what my wife did? Icicles probably hanging off of her eyebrows here. Yeah. So Jesus has been doing these things. He's been teaching. Thank you, James. He's been teaching. He's been healing. And now he says to his 12, I want you to go out in pairs, and I want you to go out and minister. I want you to go out there, and I want you to get into the towns, and I want you to tell them about the gospel. I want you to be ready to anoint with oil. I want you to be able to cast out demons. I mean, they've been watching it, but now he's telling them to do that. They're following their leader, right? They're following what Jesus said, go do this now. Here's a command, go do it. And he says, when you get into a city and you get into a place, stay there. Don't move around. Don't try to find better accommodations. Stick in the spot you're at. I think it's so important as believers that we blossom where we're planted. I would venture to guess 90% of us in this room are not happy where we are, but we want to get somewhere else. Right? It's like, well, if I could just get there, then I would be happy. Or if I could just have this much money, then we'd be good. Well, if I could just have this job, then I'd be content. Let me just say this. We're never going to be content until we get to heaven. We're never. But be blossom where you're planted. Jesus is saying, if you go into a house, stay there. And this is the thing I want to encourage all of us here this morning. We talked about God's presence, didn't we? He said, God, if we invite your presence here, let your presence be in this place. Listen to me, and this is so, so, so important. Don't, if you're going to write down anything, write this down. Your presence in any situation is a holy presence. You hear me? Your presence in any place, in a meeting, in a family reunion, in a street park, your physical presence, just being there because you're a believer in Jesus Christ, because you have the Holy Spirit, your presence of being there is a blessing to the people that are there. That's what Jesus is saying. When you find a place, stay there. He even says, make sure your peace stays with that home. Are you a kind of person that brings peace into a situation? Or do you bring stress, anxiety, fear, depression? Guys, we're children of God. We have the Holy Spirit within us. The power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in your heart if you are a believer. Just you showing up to work is a positive impact. Don't forget that. Again, wherever Jesus, can you imagine? If Jesus walked in here, truly, just think about it. Try to imagine what it would be like. I bet we'd all sit up straight, open our Bibles, open our eyes. Pay attention, right? When you were in school and the teacher told someone to sit up straight, didn't you sit up straight too? Why is that? It's like, whoa, better pay attention. Jesus is here this morning. His presence is here this morning. Is your heart open enough to receive his presence and to accept the fact that he has anointed you for a plan and a purpose in your life? Because just you being you is powerful. Listen, we live in a day and age where everybody on social media looks their best. You know, it's like, oh, I wish I was that person. Look, they got everything together. Oh my gosh, sorry. Lainey, you kill me. Your social media, I just love it. She is so open and honest, I love it. It's just great. When I post something, I'm looking for the best light, I'm looking for the best. You just show it as it is, right? Be real, right? It's who we are. Well, that's the reality. We just need to be ourselves. We're living these plastic lives. You know, we have to have the fancy shoes. Hey. Sorry, babe. The sad reality is I've probably been wearing the same shoes to church for 5 years. Yeah. Preach it, baby. Preach it. Just for the tape, my wife called me holy. Okay, that's what I did. Be yourself. God created you the way you are for a reason. Don't try to be like somebody else. I'm not saying don't have goals and don't want to be better. Be the best you can be. I'm all for it. But don't compare yourself to somebody else. Say, oh, if I could just get like them. No, be yourself. Because I find if we can be ourselves and give God the credit, it's so much better. Right? God's using me. Whoa, that's amazing. God's amazing. That's how God is. Listen. Stay close to Jesus, because he's the one that gives the commands. He's the one that gives the directives. He's the one that calls the orders and calls the shots. Stay close to him. Notice it says he drew them, the 12, to himself. He wanted to be in their presence. In the presence of God is an amazing amount of power. Stay close to God. Because if you're not staying close to God, you're staying so close to something else, aren't you? Stay close to the Lord. Notice it says that he gave them power. We need to stay close to Jesus because he's the one that gives us the power. We have no power. But Jesus gave them power over unclean spirits. Man, and they were able to go out and to cast out demons. What an amazing ministry. If we could just tap into the fact that we have been given the power from Jesus, from God, do you know how much that would change our lives? Because just possessing the power does nothing for you. You have to use the power. If the disciples just went out and said, I have the power, woo-hoo, didn't do anything, they would never experience the power. But if we truly believe that God has given us the power and we use the power, then it's like, wow, look what God has done. Look what God has done. So we have to utilize, we have to tap into the power that's been given to us. And listen, you don't have to go to seminary, you don't have to go through Bible college, you don't have to be super holy. God will use you in whatever place you are. If you know a little bit about the Bible more than your coworker, listen, you know more than your coworker, you're able to minister to that coworker. That's why you want to know what the Word says, so you can minister to these people. We have physical limitations. We need God's power. Do you need God's power? We need God's power. We have physical limitations. Our bodies get weak. Isn't it interesting when you really think about it that every day we have to sleep? Every single day. Like our bodies wear out, we get tired. It's a dependence that we have on God. That's why I think Jesus said, I'm going to send you out two by two, because he's telling us, you're never going to be alone. Going out two by two, send them out in pairs. It's always better to be late for school when you got somebody else with you, right? It's a lot more comfortable. Oh, that guy's late? Cool. Oh, man, phew. Thought I was going to be the only one. We like companionship if we're going to get in trouble. We pull our sibling in. They help me do it. Yeah, I see them looking back there. We have physical limitations. We have to rely upon God. We need to get the rest that we need. Do you know that they say in order to live a healthy life, you need to eat right, exercise, and get rest. Eat right, exercise, and get plenty of rest. As I say those three things, are there any of them on that list you're going, oof, eat right? Not don't have that. Exercise, who does that? That's ridiculous. Rest? I got too much to do. Who has time to rest? It's the reality that if we eat right and exercise doesn't mean join a gym. It just means get moving. Go for a walk for 30 minutes. That's what they say. 30 minutes a day, if you go for a walk, you'll stay healthier. I'm not saying you're going to be perfectly healthy, but you'll be healthier. To apply these things to our lives will help us and equip us to live strong. To eat right. Listen, I love me Big Macs all day long. But I know I can't eat them every day. Some people try. It's not easy to eat right, is it? It takes effort, it takes work. I'm thinking we just need to realize we need these things in our lives. We need to eat right, feed our bodies. The other day I was, and again, here's another Duffy story. You gotta love this family. I mean, Jasper, the other day I was visiting, I had to drop something off at Leslie and Jay's house, and Jasper's there, and I mean, he's just like this, he's got red eyes, he's almost tearing up. I'm like, is Jasper okay? She goes, oh, he played at the water park all day yesterday, and he's exhausted. I'm like, he's 9 years old. How can he be out of the, how can he be exhausted? I mean, he was literally in tears almost. He was so tired. And I looked at him, I said, dude, take a nap. Easy fix. You know, this is not a problem. You don't have to be stressed out. Go lay down, dude. I mean, if someone told me in the middle of the day, go lay down, heck yeah. Sign me up for that. If I could get paid for that, man. I was like, just, isn't it great at the end of the day when you crawl in your bed? It's just so great. And we're all daydreaming of that right now. It's like, oh, we need the rest. We need rest, but we see our schedules are so full. Our lives are so full, we gotta go, go, go. And so many people say, oh, we'll rest when we get in heaven. Well, if God wanted us to rest when we get to heaven, he wouldn't have said, on the seventh day, you're gonna do nothing. He wouldn't create a day to say, give yourselves a break. I think he wouldn't have made our bodies where every 24 hours we need 8 hours of rest. If he wanted us to just keep on going. And I'm just saying, consider it. Don't tell your boss you're not working overtime because your pastor said you got to go take a nap. I mean, don't get me in trouble. But get the rest that you need. Get the rest you need. All right, one last thing I want you to see here. Jesus says, you know, whatever place you go and stay there, and if they don't want you there and you leave, dust, you know, shake the dust off your feet. He was basically, he was getting right to the heart of the Jews. The Jews, whenever they would leave a Gentile territory, they would literally wipe the dust off because they said they didn't even want to associate with Jews. So here's Jesus telling these Jewish disciples that when they go into a Jewish town and they try to minister the gospel to them, if they reject that truth, he's like, shake the dust off your feet just like they do to the Gentiles. It was an insult to the Jews saying, you aren't even accepting the reality of the truth. God's showing up in your presence and you're rejecting him. One day you're going to have to stand before him and give an account. I love Jesus. Always challenging the religious. Always getting in their face and challenging their attitudes. But this is the last thing I want us to talk about. Not only did he give them power to cast out demons. Notice it says they cast out many demons in verse 13. And anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. I carry a little flask of anointing oil with me everywhere. Everywhere I go, in case someone needs to be anointed. Now, this has been in my pocket for about a year, and so for $19.95, you can buy one of these. It's super holy. No, it's not. There's no power in the oil. The power is in the faith of what it represents. And the oil represents the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so when we anoint people, we're asking God that the Holy Spirit would come upon them, that you would touch their hearts, that you would heal them. I mean, it says in the Bible in James chapter 5, verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. A very simple but yet powerful area of scripture. As I said earlier, there's prayer counselors up here to come forward and for you to pray. Now, you may not have a cold this morning, but is there something in your life that's sick? Is there something going on in your life that is not completely healthy? Whether it's your marriage, whether it's your workplace, whatever, maybe you've chronic back pain, chronic headaches. Guys, the Bible is very clear. Jesus empowered the disciples to go out two by two. He told them, follow my lead. Do what I've done. Heal people. Anoint them with oil because you're identifying with what the power that I have by the power of the Holy Spirit. I feel like this is one of the most neglected areas of Scripture in the church today because nobody wants to come forward and admit, my marriage is struggling. You know, I find myself on the internet way more often than I should be, looking at things I shouldn't be looking at. Are you sick? Are you heard? Come to the elders of the church, someone in the church that has the faith to believe, I'm going to anoint you with this oil and believe that God's going to take this from you, that God's going to give you the strength to, when that temptation comes, to go, I'm not going to do it this time. Now listen to me. It's not a magic pill. You got to do the hard work. You got to make the choice. You know, it would be great if we could come up here and I could anoint everybody and, okay, now I'm not going to struggle anymore. I'm not going to, my eyes aren't going to drift. I'm not going to cuss anymore. I'm not, whatever it is that you struggle with, it's not going to just go away. But you're going to come forward and by faith you're going to go, I need the Holy Spirit in my life so that I can overcome the struggles that I have in my life or the sicknesses that I have in my body. That's what this verse is saying. Guys, if we're going to be followers of our leader, we need to be doing what the Bible tells us. And now we've just read what Jesus told his disciples, his pupils, his followers to do. Are we going to do that as well? Are we going to believe by faith this week that God's sending us out and that we're never alone? He's always with us. He sent them out two by two. When we go with the Holy Spirit. That's to go in two by two. In the power of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life means you are a powerful presence in your workplace, wherever it is you are. Guys, utilize and tap into the power that God has given to you. And I will guarantee you, you'll see God begin to open doors in your life you'll never even imagined he would do. It's just walking by faith. Let's pray that this week God will use us, that we will be looking for those opportunities. And then tell someone what God's doing in your life. There's nothing more powerful in someone's life than to hear the testimony of what God's doing in your life. Father, we thank you for your word. And how grateful we are that, Lord, you do send us out. That it certainly is a work of your hand. It's a work of your power. But you want us to be a part of it. You want us to participate. You could do it all, but Lord, you still call us to be involved. The simple fact that you sent out these 12 is a testimony to us that you'll use anybody. And you'll use each and every person in this room. So I pray this morning, as your word has gone forth, as we've read it and considered it, that it's been planted in our hearts, that we'll believe that you are going to give us power to overcome our own struggles, but to also assist others, to come alongside them and encourage them to continue to be faithful, to trust in you, to cast our cares upon you. May we stay close. May we follow you, Lord. May we follow our leader into this world and even beyond. We know you're coming home for us soon. We pray for your return. We pray for your presence in our lives. To you be the glory and to you be the honor. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.